You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome are both illnesses characterized by extreme amount of fatigue. In fact, the condition seems to be so similar in symptomatology that there is a constant debate in the medical field whether fibromyalgia fatigue is simply a different expression of the same disorder that causes chronic fatigue syndrome. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention believes that there are about 5 million people in the U.S. with fibromyalgia compared with a little over 1 million people with chronic fatigue syndrome. But the Arthritis Foundation estimates that 50 to 70% of people with fibromyalgia also fits the criteria of chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, today on Wellness for Life, we are very fortunate to have one of the foremost experts in the field of fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, Dr. Kent Holtorf. He is the medical director of the Holtorf Medical Group and personally trained numerous physicians across the country in innovative treatments of chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, chronic infectious diseases, including Lyme and related diseases, and the use of bioidentical hormones, hypothyroidism, complex endocrine dysfunction, and weight loss. So great to have you here, Dr. Holtorf.
Hello. It's wonderful to be here.
Awesome. Now, does this really, I said earlier in the little intro, does this mean that the people could really be suffering from both conditions at the same time?
And now, I actually did a review. I looked at all the studies on chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia and looked at in relation to hypothalamic and pituitary dysfunction. So basically looking at the control center in the brain and basically all the other components. And we found that fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome are exactly the same illness with one difference. The chronic fatigue syndrome patients had more dysfunction in their pituitary, where the fibromyalgia patients had more dysfunction in their hypothalamus, which makes sense because that's where the pain center is. So they have low hormones because you're basically the hypothalamus and pituitary control your hormones. But when those are dysfunctional and it's low, all your hormones are low. So and that's what we find with these conditions, one of the problems. But, yeah, so they're basically the same illness. They've just basically come together with different types of diagnosis where fibromyalgia is based on basically an exam and chronic fatigue syndrome based on symptoms. So, but they're the same disorder and have the same underlying pathophysiology.
I took a look at there was a research, you actually did it, I believe, right? It was the study that you looked at, and I took a look at the diagnosis and treatment of hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis dysfunction in patients. Was that your report? Is that correct?
Yes.
Right. And what's fascinating is that what you're talking about, the pituitary as well as the hypothalamic, can you give a little, a lot of our listeners really can't tell the difference of what the pituitary and the hypothalamus is. Can you please just describe what it is so that our listeners know, understand that there's the same type of condition, but two different areas in the brain?
Yeah, and they have a lot of very similar, it becomes a vicious cycle, actually. And let me kind of step back, and what we typically see with the illness, there's always genetic predisposition in terms that you're more prone. They find chronic fatigue syndrome patients and fibromyalgia patients have a number of genes that don't do certain things that make them more prone, including they don't have less serotonin receptors, they have a poor stress response, they actually have hypothalamic pituitary dysfunction, and so many poor detoxifications. So many things set them up for having it, and stress plays a significant role. So what we find is usually there's a stressful event that kind of sets everything off, and stress will really do a number of things, lower the hypothalamic pituitary function and immunity to start with. Now, what is the hypothalamus and pituitary? It's a small little acorn-sized organ right in the center of your brain. And it controls all the releasing hormones, which then tell the signals for all the organs to secrete hormones. So, for instance, with adrenal, you have ACTH is basically the hypothalamus tells the pituitary to secrete ACTH. Then that tells your adrenals to go up. And what that review found is that with fibromyalgia patients, the hypothalamus wasn't working to tell the pituitary to secrete TSH. Now, with chronic fatigue syndrome, the hypothalamus was pretty much intact, and it would tell the pituitary to secrete ACTH to boost cortisol with stress, but it wasn't working. So they end up having the same symptoms with low adrenal function, but just two different kinks in the chain that are required to secrete cortisol.
So you just said something really big, and I don't want to just go over it too quickly here. You said that regarding fibromyalgia patients, it has to do with the miscommunication of the hypothalamus telling the pituitary to excrete out a thyroid-stimulating hormone. Is that correct?
Or an angiocorticotropin secreting hormone. So we talk about the adrenals, but yes, also with the TSH, it's the exact same thing for the thyroid. So you look at all these organs are not secreting enough hormones, and often they're in that low normal range, and the doctors say, oh, you're fine. Now you look at cortisol levels, a nice study out of the Journal of Infectious Disease, because we're finding 90%+, if not all, of these illnesses have an infectious basis. But if your cortisol level is below 12, you have about an 87% chance of being low adrenal. Because when you get stressed, your cortisol should go up. And if it doesn't, your body can't handle that stress, especially over time. And instead of secreting cortisol, it secretes adrenaline. So it's like you're just in that fight or flight constantly, and that just wears down the body. You don't get sleep. You basically just start breaking down the rest of the body, anxiety, depression, fatigue, all those things. And then what happens is everything's a vicious cycle. So when you get this stress-induced insult, again, you'll get hypothalamic pituitary dysfunction, low immunity. You get what's called TH1 to TH2 conversion. So your body has two sides to the immune system. One's called TH1, one's called TH2. They're usually balanced. TH1 gets stuff inside the cell, TH2 gets stuff outside the cell. So what happens with this illness, the TH1 is suppressed, so you can't kill intracellular infections, but TH2 goes up too high. So you get all this inflammation, and the body's trying to kill this infection with a TH2 type immunity, which doesn't work very well, but you get all the symptoms of achiness, brain fog, gut problems, mitochondrial dysfunction, so you can't make energy for the cells. And I know you've written a book on mitochondrial function, and that is a common denominator with these patients. So there's no cellular energy to detoxify. They basically don't burn any calories, so they gain weight. The immune system is very active, so without enough mitochondria, the immune system doesn't work, the gut doesn't work, the brain doesn't work, and all this becomes a vicious cycle. So when you say, what causes these illnesses, you can look at studies and show, hey, it's a sleep disorder. Another one, it's hypothalamic pituitary dysfunction. Another one, it's infectious. Another one, it's, gut issues. Another one showing, basically coagulation defect. And who's right? Well, the answer is they all are, and because it's a vicious cycle that affects multiple systems. And that's why it's very difficult for you to go to a doctor and they give you 6 to 8 minutes and, for them to look at all these different systems and try to figure it out, it just doesn't work. So, and this is what we specialize in, and we can't treat these patients in 6 to 8 minutes.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. You know, you were mentioning about the TH1, TH2 discrepancy, and that the TH2 is basically an overly active, and which of course can be why it is considered an autoimmune condition. At least fibromyalgia, some doctors think that it's an autoimmune effect, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly. When you have that high TH2, low TH1, you're much more prone to autoimmune diseases. And a lot of patients come in, they go, well, you don't have lupus, but you got these markers, you're pre-lupus, and they'll get diagnosed with everything, depression, migraines, pre-lupus, so many things. And doctors will say, well, all the blood tests are normal. Well, if you most of the time you go in, they do a CBC, a chem panel, and a cholesterol. and they go, oh, we can't find anything, so it's not real. And in general, if a doctor can't treat it, it doesn't exist, right? Because it's not their fault. But when we do an extensive blood panel, we can pick out a chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia / chronically infected / Lyme patient 80% of the time and how severe it is by just the blood work, without talking to the patient. So saying it's, a made-up illness and this is crazy.
I agree. You know, one of the markers that I do regularly is the ANA. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting about that anti-nuclear antibodies. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's not. What's your take on that? Because you do a lot of blood.
Yeah, so we'll find basically, we'll look at much closer at the immune system and see why that ANA is up. So you look at things like the quintessential lab to diagnose these conditions is natural killer cell function. So the natural killer cells are a particular type of white cells that kill intracellular infections. And what happens with these illnesses, they're actually infected. It's kind of like a mini AIDS, really. So we'll find with the natural killer cell function low, that's a measure of that Th1, the part of the immune system that kills intracellular bacteria. Then we'll look at the Th2 level with human transforming growth factor beta, C4A, not C4. We'll find that oftentimes their immunoglobulins they have low IgG immunoglobulins because, all the cells are just screwed up. Now, once they get better, you'll see those normalize. Now, when someone has low IgG, they'll go to the neurologist. They'll say, oh, this is genetic. You need gamma globulin, which can be a good treatment. But they think it's just lifelong. It's forever. But it goes away. If you get rid of the infection, the problem, then that will go away. Or if you work on the immune system and do immune modulators, which we're finding are really probably the biggest key to treating this condition successfully, is modulating the immune system. Because if you fix the immune system, everything else starts coming into line.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about this immune system because, you mentioned that 90%, if not more, and which is I also see this to be the case when it comes to fibro and chronic fatigue syndrome, is that there is an underlying infection, whether it's viral, bacterial, and, of course, stealth pathogens such as Lyme bugs. Can we talk about what you see? Because I see a lot of Epstein-Barr, cytomegalo. Yep. I see a lot of mycoplasmas. What do you see?
Absolutely. And you look at, there's so many studies that find 70-80% of people with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia have one of these chronic infections, 80%, and then 5% of normals. And the thing is that a lot of patients have 4, 5, 6, 7 infections. Well, how can that be? Well, the thing is that most people have been exposed to those. So think about chickenpox, right? You get chickenpox, you think you're over it, but it comes back out years later when your immune system drops. But these patients have very low Th1 immunity, which is what keeps them in check. So all these things are coming out. So, yeah, they end up positive for Epstein-Barr, HHV6, mycoplasma. Why is that? It's really because of the low immunity. But the problem is those infections, once they come out, they suppress the immune system. So it becomes chicken or the egg. And so you need to really fix all these other things. And then again, as we spoke, 95% of patients will have low thyroid levels, even though their standard tests look normal. But studies are very clear on that. I've published a number of review articles clearly showing that the standard way we look at low thyroid in this country is wrong. It's missing, again, 80% of people. So you look at the studies by low showing that, the only way to get better with chronic fatigue syndrome fibromyalgia is to treat with T3. Again, there are other ways, but that if you miss that, it makes it very difficult to get better. But we're finding oftentimes, we're in California, and they said, there's not a lot of Lyme, but we're finding now that chronic fatigue syndrome fibromyalgia is often chronic Lyme disease. And again, the standard blood tests miss about 80%, but with specialty testing, we can find that. And, you need to find what the cause is in order to successfully treat these conditions. Just throwing, antidepressants at them, sleep meds, narcotics, and just saying, get over it, suck it up, eat better. I mean, doctors treat these patients so poorly because, they don't understand what's going on and they end up not believing the patient. But again, we can show them black and white why they're having these symptoms.
That's right. You know, there's one thing that I wanted to talk to the listeners about is that the lab tests, you know, when we look for these bacterias and viruses, very often they're just not good enough. These tests are not good enough to give you that information whether they're truly living in your bloodstream or not, or living in organs and tissues. I know that what we're probably you're familiar with, I'm sure, Dr. Holtorf, is about the IgG and IgM antibody testing for these bugs. And some doctors will say, well, you know what, you've been exposed to it if the IgG is up, but you're not in acute infection because the IgM does not show. You know, I actually believe that it's there, but it's in a chronic state. Do you feel the same way?
You're absolutely correct. And so you do not get, with a chronic infection, a chronic relapsing infection, you don't get IgM antibodies. So we're taught in medical school that, let's say you get pneumonia or something, so your body will secrete IgM antibodies, which aren't very good. They just kind of hold on to the organism. And then after a couple weeks, your body will start secreting IgG antibodies, which are much more potent. They activate what's called complement. They attach to the bug and then kind of explode them. So they're much more effective. But now if it's a chronic relapsing, so your body's seen it before, but it can't suppress it, it comes back out, you don't get IgM antibodies because it's a new infection. Because it's not a new infection, it's a reactivating infection that you've had. So basically the higher the IgG, the more likely you have it, but there's no particular cutoff. And it's very unlikely to have an IgM antibody because it's not a new infection. So you're totally right on that.
I'm glad that you have made it very clear for us to understand that. Yeah, absolutely. Regarding, you mentioned about my Mighty Mito book, I talk a lot about the different ways to optimize our mitochondrial function, because so often the biggest, in fact, symptom is chronic fatigue or extreme fatigue. I'd like to know how you help your patients improve their mitochondrial health.
Yeah, and what we find, mitochondria are key, and if you can fix that, and even for so many other illnesses, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, diabetes, they all have mitochondrial dysfunction. And now with these infections, the new studies are showing that the cells secrete a danger protein that actually suppresses the mitochondria. And if you take serum from a chronic fatigue syndrome person and infuse it, you know, basically into cells of a normal person, their mitochondria will shut down. So there's a number of substances that are in the serum that are blocking mitochondria. It's thought to be maybe an evolutionary thing where you kind of, hey, conserve energy, but also the same happens for if you take even just a stressed person or a person who has been dieting significantly and fuse them into normal cells, they actually will stop taking up T4 and T3. So they don't utilize the thyroid, so they become hypothyroid. And they found, we're kind of deviating here, but if people diet more significantly more than three times, then their metabolism drops because they don't actually transport T4 and T3 into the cell, partially because of low mitochondrial function, and it doesn't go back to normal even after they eat normally. So when people say they've wrecked my metabolism, they definitely have.
Yeah, that's the whole yo-yo dieting, and you just gain more weight as you're going through the more times that you diet. Now, this what you just said is a very big thing, because, you know, sometimes if we have to, we end up having to get transfusions for whatever reasons. This tells me that you don't want transfusions from anyone else unless you know that they actually have a really good metabolic metabolism, and because you're saying that there's proteins in the serum that can block your ability for your mitochondria to work. That's huge to me, Dr. Holtorf.
Yeah, and it's scary, and that's what the problem with these chronically infected patients. They have all these things that are shutting down their metabolism. And, you know, and it's why 99% of chronic fatigue syndrome fibromyalgia patients need T3 thyroid. If your thyroid isn't fixed, you're going to have a very difficult time basically getting some successful treatment. And that's why all these patients, you know, just keep gaining weight and they eat very little. You know, people go, oh, you must be eating in the closet and da-da-da. But, you know, what we'll do is we'll check everyone's basal metabolic rate, and they're on average 25% lower. They burn 25% less calories than a normal person throughout the day. We'll check what's called a thyroflex. So the British Medical Journal showed that a knowledgeable doctor looking at someone's ankle reflex was a better test for thyroid than blood tests. So we have it on a computer, and we tell that, and people, you know, they tell their doctor, they go back, hey, my thyroid must be low, my thyroid must be low. No, you're fine, you know, just go on this diet, you got to eat less. And we show them right there that they have no metabolism. They'll often have low body temp, so their body temperature's low oftentimes. So it's just, again, a multi-system problem, and you have to address a lot of these problems in order to get better.
Good point. You know, we talked to you talked a little bit about how you give everyone thyroid T3, T4, most of them. You know, I find that in my practice that I actually have to support the adrenals first before addressing thyroid, only because a lot of the times, the adrenal glands are not functionally appropriately. And if we increase too much of the thyroid, you end up, I find that it actually can burn out the adrenals a little bit more.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, in the review article that I did showed 80 to 90% of people with chronic fatigue syndrome fibromyalgia are low adrenal. And now also, if you're, let's say you're in the ICU and you have normal adrenal levels, you're going to die. So it's all relative to the amount of stress. So if you're sick, you need higher adrenals. And you're right. If you give thyroid to someone who's low adrenal, they're not going to tolerate it. So you need to support the adrenal, either give a little cortisol or some, adrenal supplements to build that up. We'll usually start low, but if you get significant thyroid, they may not tolerate it. So I totally agree with you there.
So let's move on a little bit more into, you talked about hormone therapy. You're going to have to make sure that your thyroid is functioning optimally. Adrenal strength has got to be right there as well. You also mentioned that a lot of these individuals have what's called wired and tired because their cortisol is not working, their adrenal function, then they end up having their adrenaline, noradrenaline is up higher. How else can we modulate the immunity? You mentioned about that's what you do in your practice. And if you work with that, that's when you really see the big jump in improvement of these chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia patients. What type of immune modulatory therapies do you do?
Yeah, and this has become a mainstay of the practice, is really immune modulator. So there's low-dose naltrexone, which people can use, in IVIG, which is intravenous gamma globulin, ozone. But a couple of the ones that we've really just found to be kind of magical for people are two things. One is the peptides, and the other one is umbilical cord stem cells. So the peptides are thymosin alpha-1, which is actually approved in the United States for cancer. And a lot of these things that boost that TH1 are very helpful for cancer. And it's approved almost everywhere else in the world for a number of things, chronic infections, and cancer mainly. So it modulates the immune system, lowers inflammation, and boosts that TH1 immunity. Same with BPC-157. And it does the same thing, increases TH1, lowers TH2. And you mentioned that a lot of, chronic fatigue syndrome have a lot of autoimmune characteristics, what they do. This actually will see people, autoimmune disease go away. We'll do it intravenously. People with fibromyalgia on fentanyl patches, which is a very potent narcotic, and they're like, oh my God, I don't have any pain anymore. So it's quite amazing. And then BPC-157 really lowers inflammation and shown to heal. We'll do it orally for people with leaky gut and bad guts, and within 3 days, it's like, oh my God, my gut's healed. So we'll also use that as to lower inflammation.
You mentioned about these, obviously cutting edge formulations, and it needs to be done through a medical doctor. Does insurance cover these procedures?
They don't even know what it is, what those are. Yeah, unfortunately.
So obviously it needs to come out of the person's own pocket. But when you're suffering, and you've been suffering for years, and I know that your patient load is like that, this can be this magical savior here, it sounds to me.
Oh, very much so. And you look at, what doctors know. A study of in the Annals of Internal Medicine showed that doctors are practicing 10 to 20 years behind what's available in the medical literature, and that it takes, on average, a proven new therapy to get accepted into mainstream medicine, on average, 17 years, unless it's a new drug. So that's the thing. All these people say, well, if it's so great, why don't my other doctors know about it? Well, in 17 years, they will.
Well, and, goodness, there's
and
so
then
much.
I just want to mention
real quick,
the umbilical cord stem cells is our newest therapy that we're just blown away with. And, you know, everyone knows about stem cells. And the problem is, if you have any inflammation, any chronic illness, your own stem cells don't work. And so we found, it was thought that to do umbilical cord stem cells that you need to match them, it has to be someone related, but they're fine that you don't need to. You can use anyone's, and almost pretty much zero risk of, you know, infection or contamination. And what they do is lower inflammation, boost your immune system, they'll go to the areas and heal the brain, the thyroid, the adrenal glands, and all of a sudden everything starts working. So we've been very excited about that treatment. And then we drive them even more with peptides.
Sure. I actually would love to have you come back and talk to us about umbilical cord stem cells. I would absolutely love that. We've got to get going now, but Dr. Kent Holtorf, his website is www.holtorfmed.com, HOLTORFmed.com. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.